Well, hello everyone and welcome back. Today is Friday, June 7th, 2013. My name is Angela Walton-Raji and this is the African Roots Podcast. Remember, you can always reach me at africanrootspodcast@gmail.com. Well, everybody, hello. I am coming to you today from Southern California. I am in, I believe, the San Fernando Valley. I am in the lovely city of Burbank. Charming looking town, fascinating place, and what a pleasure to be here. Why am I here? Well, I'm so excited. I am speaking at the Southern California Genealogical Society Jamboree. This is amazing. I arrived yesterday afternoon after a very long journey. I had a flight due to leave at 6:30 a.m. out of Baltimore, Marshall Airport, BWI. The plane had mechanical problems, so they put us at another gate and had a different plane. Fine and good. Well, as it turns out, getting an hour late start, which really wasn't going to be too bad. I had enough time to get to my gate, to the next gate. However, left an hour late, arrived an hour and a half late. There was a tailwind, so we were slowed down a bit in Denver, where I had to change planes. Okay, all right, there's another flight. We got there, they gave us another flight, very apologetic, gave us a voucher for future travel, so that was good. But I had a 4-hour layover in Denver. That means I missed some preliminary activities yesterday, including a chance to hear all the specialists on DNA and other topics. Anyway, that's okay. I arrived in the afternoon, still light, beautiful weather, cool, dry, just pretty. No humidity, which was also nice, very kind to my sinuses. But I am so excited. Things are getting underway this morning, and I am going to be so eager to just get out and move around the vendor hall and run into people. I ran into some really neat people. Ran into Judy Russell, the legal genealogist. Those of you in California probably know Elise Dorflinger, who lives out west. Ran into her. Never met her in person. Delightful, funny, witty, and just really neat. I met Randy Seaver. Some of these individuals I have met strictly through blogging. And here are these individuals. I'm like, oh my gosh, wow. I had a chance to just see a number of people and can't wait for things to get started. So it's very, very early in the morning here in Burbank, California, and I'm about to get ready for things. I'm giving a presentation this afternoon. My topic is documenting American Indian families in 20th century records. And I'm excited. I've been looking over the program to also determine whom I'm going to, whose session, rather, I'm going to be able to sit in on, and I'm just quite excited to be here. Things are going to be going on on Twitter as well. If you are on social media, on Twitter, you want to use the hashtag SCGS2013. Remember, SCGS2013. It's going to be loads of fun. Speakers from all over. And I cannot wait to see my friend Nika Smith from Northern California. Ran into Tim Pennick last night as everybody was checking in and getting registered as well. So the speakers are from all over the area. It's going to be just fascinating, I think, to get a chance to hear people whose names I've typically only seen online. Anyway, hey, coming to you from the Jamboree, if you follow me on Facebook and Twitter, you'll start to see some pages, some pictures that I took yesterday during speaker registration as well. Wow. Great time to be here, and this is kickoff time for me. And things are going on, though. I hope those of you who are still out east next Saturday, you will have a chance to attend the Prince George's County annual Juneteenth celebration, something that always goes on, and you're certainly encouraged to go. It's a free event. There are things that are going on. I believe it's at the Watkins Park in Upper Marlboro, Maryland, but I'll put a link for you right on the website so you can take a look at that. I'm also getting ready. I am on my way to Samford. Yes, on my way to Birmingham on Sunday morning, and looking forward to a week. I'm speaking again this coming week. You know, I was a young woman when I started doing all this, and now I'm going to be a bit tired, but I'm enjoying what I'm doing, I have to confess. But I'm looking forward to being there as well. So this is sort of the kickoff, this event here in California, the Genealogy Jamboree, sponsored by the Southern California Genealogical Society. And, of course, you know, Maggie, you still have time. This is time, folks. And I guess as I'm here now, I'm feeling all the energy, getting all the energy from everyone else who's enjoying themselves. This is the time now for us to go and get serious about what we do, to get training, to start to learn from others what they do. And, you know, I'll just ask you, where do you go? What are you doing to gain more skills? There are opportunities to study online. There are opportunities to study real time. What are you doing to grow? And that's sort of my theme of the day, so to speak, in terms of getting your training. I hope that also that you are able to take advantage of lectures that are going on in your area. And some of the best researchers in the country are out there sharing information. There are online webinars, and it's just so much that's going on. By the way, those of you in the state of Kentucky, do not forget, next week is the third Saturday workshop as well. And, you know, I know this is a time also for us to travel. This is a great time of the year to be out and about. You know, start to record things that you're doing. People were sort of smiling and chuckling last night as I was snapping pictures, but at the same time, you know, we need to record what's going on and what's happening to us. So even as you go to those events, you know, take pictures, not just for the sake of making a memory or creating that memory to last, but also really go there with a purpose. Go there with a purpose. I was looking at the schedule, and I like the way the folks at the Jamboree have something they call the pink sheets. Well, that's the entire itinerary for the weekend. And on the pink sheet, I've been marking it and writing some of the lectures that I want to sit in and listen. And wow, there's a lot that's there. And I realize even myself, you know what? I really do need to sit down and organize some things. I really do need to sit down and review what I have in some of these categories. And also, have I applied some of the standard requirements in terms of making a search, making a thorough search, as some call it, an exhaustive search. Well, these are things to really make sure that you're doing it the right way, that make sure that you're really also capturing the story. You're not just collecting names. And these are the things that I think are so important in terms of what we do. When you're going after certain kinds of records, how many of us really understand the anatomy of a pension file, who understand what those documents truly mean, and why do you see certain kinds of things that were captured? Do you know why? Do you know what this can do for you and how it can enhance your own research and take it to another level? These are all things that we have to think about. And that's why I'm also just so excited to be exposed. For me, this exposure, being here on the West Coast, is exposure to people whose names I've only seen, and not just on a social level in terms of being able to say, hi, how are you? I've been following your blog or reading some of your works. but primarily to get exposure to individuals who may have a slightly different skill set than the regulars that I hear on the East Coast. So, I also encourage you to consider traveling to some of these events when the individuals are either coming to your region or you have a chance to go to their region where they may be speaking. This is the time to take what we do seriously, and this is the time to really take it and grow with it. So lots of things to do and to think about doing as well. And I'm excited about being able to listen to and visit some of the roundtables. There's some roundtable discussions that are going on here at the Jamboree. One, in fact, I'm very anxious in finding out whether or not I've used some of the best resources at one of the tables of the World Topics and Tables. There is a table on Southern research. I need to find out, have I been utilizing, because I do have ancestors who were very Southern. You can't get more South than Mississippi. Well, certainly I want to know, have I covered as many aspects of the history of the region as there are to utilize? And so I'm excited about being able to do that as well. And I hope that many of you will also make a connection to zeroing in on the resources that are available through the historical societies that cover the region where your ancestors lived. So very, very important. And oftentimes there are hidden gems in those very areas that you maybe thought, well, they really didn't go into detail about my own people. I really don't need to join them. Are you sure? Because your people did not live in a vacuum and just appeared as a dot on a map. They lived, they certainly intermingled, whether willingly or unwillingly, with others. And you may find information, if not on your own ancestors who may have been enslaved, but you might find information upon, or rather about, the slaveholder and the slaveholder's family and issues that certainly affected them. Even the slaveholders didn't live in a vacuum. They had to create wills and had to pay taxes and made often many business transactions. And many times you're going to find your enslaved ancestors on those bills, on those cases where debts had to be settled and a slave was given in the process. So you're going to find this kinds of data. And I'm curious to learn what other resources are there. By the way, last night, for Southern Research, and for those of you who have ancestors who were enslaved, you need to listen to Bernice Bennett's show from last night. I've had to catch the archived version because it was only 6 p.m. here, and I was in the middle of the registration process and then later with dinner with some colleagues. But nevertheless, tune in. If you have ancestors who came off of any plantations in the South and are not quite sure how to research those records, you may want to really hear Bernice's guest last night, who talked about even an index of those plantations and many times, how many times, if your ancestors or you're researching for someone, a family that was enslaved, and how many times have you said, gee, I wish there was some information that I could get from a particular community or a particular plantation. Well, people are often surprised to learn that sometimes those records are there and can be found. Well, you're going to get some other tips on how to locate them by listening to last night's archived version if you've not heard, if you didn't catch it live. Keep in mind, Bernice's show airs every Thursday evening at 9 p.m. Eastern Time on Blog Radio. By the way, the question, I think I've asked it before, where do you get your information and how? One of the things that has become very, very obvious to me is that the landscape, the genealogical landscape, has changed. Now, what do I mean about that? Well, you can sit now and get as much information, well, not quite as much as real-time research, and there's some records that have never been digitized, but many times you can get a lot of information on your ancestors, quote-unquote, literally in your pajamas, and because of the many resources that are there online. But also, in addition to that, I hope that many of you are able to take advantage of the many live events. If you're not aware, there are some events that are going to be streamed live from here at the Jamboree. So, tune in and watch them, as well as the fact is that you want to take advantage of other sort of non-live but recorded live events in terms of getting information too. The webinars that are out there are growing by leaps and bounds, reaching far more people than ever before. So, don't feel downhearted if you can't always travel and make the events, even if they're coming within a driving distance, but circumstances just prevent you from being able to travel. Well, take advantage of those live streaming events at conferences. Take advantage of those webinars, those recorded live events and sessions with rich data, rich data. And I hope that you get to your information in multiple ways. It's not always about having to travel to a conference, but there is the opportunity to still glean from those really strong presenters who are out there, and some of them are certainly at the top of the line in terms of quality, deliverance, information, and everything. So, it's time to take seriously the many things that we do. I am also looking forward, by the way, of not just sitting down listening to people who capture my attention. I'm looking forward to, yes, roaming through the exhibit hall, which can be a lot of fun. But you know what? There's a method to it all. If there's a question you've often had about something, maybe on a website that you use, maybe Ancestry.com, maybe Fold3, Heritage Quest, all of those groups. Events such as this allow you that opportunity to really stop at the booth. The booths are usually quite large, and you're able to really see what things are going on and to ask that question. I intend to take advantage today, as I have some information or I have information that I've been recording, but what I've been doing in past years was sort of tricking, so to speak, quote-unquote, the computer programs that I use to record my data, sort of tricking it to be able to flag individuals as U.S. colored troops, as veterans of the Civil War, as individuals who may have been slaveholders, because I do have my own slaveholder database from various communities. So I've tricked the existing family history programs into being able to record it, although I'm sort of not putting them in true to format in the sense of parent to child, but in some cases I may have a slaveholder database. One has to put the slaveholder in the parent position, and we know, yes, in some cases that was the situation, but the person who was enslaved then appears as the child. There are no programs that allow one to include slaveholders and to be able to track them, especially when you're doing community research. I'm saying all that to simply say, we're at a conference such as this, you see the Ancestry booth, they're doing certainly digitized images, but Family Tree Maker, Roots Tech, they're present. This is a chance to go and get some of those questions answered. These things are all very, very important that we consider doing. I also recommend that when you're going to various workshops and events, that you have a plan. You know what you're going to do. You know when you're going to do it. Sometimes the temptation is to just live in the moment, feel the electricity, the excitement of seeing friends and hanging out with them. But no, this is a learning opportunity, and it's very important that we take that opportunity seriously. Okay, I have a question for everyone. I'm very curious, and this question is sort of where your mindset might be right now. I've been talking about being here for the Jamboree. I've been talking about just sort of the excitement of the moment of being here, which is definitely there. So certainly don't misunderstand me from that perspective. It's an electric environment. And yes, you need to plan what you're doing. But I began to realize, even when I was on my flight yesterday, and was just sort of wondering, you know, why am I doing all this? You know, what's the purpose? Well, of course, I'm hoping to find new ways and new methods of researching and telling that story better once I obtain the information that I seek. But something occurred to me, and the word is commitment. How committed are you to what you're doing? How committed are you to seeing that the story gets told? And how committed are you to, I guess, documenting well, documenting thoroughly, and making sure that what you're doing is getting passed on? I use the word commitment because as I look at people whose names I've seen for many years and I'm meeting them finally for the first time, I realize they've been around. They're truly committed to this. This is inside of them. How many of you, how many of us research, but it's almost as if, oh my gosh, this is addictive. I've got to find more. Yes, all of that is true. But are we committed to really the task? Are we committed to the task of asking the right questions all the time? You know, I'm saying this because this is something that I feel that lives with inside of us as researchers, that lives inside of us as we pursue the things that we do pursue, that lives inside of us all the time. And, you know, sometimes, of course, there are those who think we're a little bit afflicted based on some of the things that we do. But seriously, are you committed to really doing things better? I have gone to, you've heard me in the past refer to people at the conferences who walk around with the binder and they sort of clutch it to their breast. They're just sort of walking around with the binder and dying to tell somebody about their families. But at the same time, are not necessarily willing to grow as opportunities increase in terms of making telling this story better. It's beyond taking someone aside and pouring out your life history to them or your ancestors' life history, because trust me, they don't want to hear it. But at the same time, the story is an important story, and there are others who want to hear the story if it's told well. If it is told well, and I take pride because I think I've told a few stories fairly well. I probably haven't told the story well on some of the lines in my family that are still sort of in process, but I also haven't found the stories that make that story enriching, that make it something that people are dying to hear. I'm very excited whenever I have a chance to share the history of my great Uncle Cephas to people, and I have strangers who come up to me, oh, I love Uncle Cephas, because I've told the story well. I've told the story not only on how I found the data pertaining to him, but I told the pieces of the story that were very remarkable about this man born enslaved, a man who was able to escape, enlist in the Union Army, captured, escaped again, and a third time, 20 years into freedom, and the family living in rural Tennessee, not far from Pulaski, was attacked by night riders, members of the Klan who decided to put the family in its place because they were a little bit uppity and were progressive. That is true. The family was fairly progressive for the 1880s. And Uncle Cephas, yes, defended the family when they were attacked. And true, two individuals who were members of the Klan did die. Uncle Cephas was a marksman, but he had to leave. He had to run away to Texas, and he did. And he remained, and he survived, and he lived to be an old man. Well, these are stories, yes, I've been able to cultivate and tell that story, but one of the reasons is my commitment to it, is my commitment, not just to telling his individual story, but my commitment to capturing all those things that make what we do important, that make what we do interesting. And I guess what I feel today, as I was watching individuals last night, as they're moving around, talking, and just meeting them, they're committed. These are individuals. Seeing Cindy Howells last night for the first time, my goodness, commitment. What a thrill to be around people who are so very committed to what they do. These are incredible times to grow, to learn, but we've got to make a true commitment. So that process of becoming committed involves sharpening your skills, whether it's at an event such as this, such as the Jamboree, or whether you're sharpening your skills in terms of getting a credential or just taking this particular class that you want to take. These things are all very, very important in terms of being able to do the things that we do. We must show commitment, and we've got to step out there and do some things that might be a little uncomfortable to do. You know, 3 years ago, or was it four, when I decided to start this podcast, I was very nervous. You know, how dare I do such a thing? Would I even have anyone who listens or who finds what I have to say interesting? I was very surprised. I have found many who strangers come up to me. Oh, you're Angela. I listen to your podcast. Wow, what a real treat. And I know I've been committed to doing this, which is one of the reasons that I'm here. But on some other things that I researched that I've never certainly tried to give a lecture about, I'm committed to them as well. So my question to you is, how committed are you to your genealogy? Is it really just a hobby? I've heard people say, oh, it's a hobby. You know, stamp collecting's a hobby, but, you know, there are other pastimes that people may undertake that are hobbies. I hope that for many of you, it's more than just a hobby. It's a commitment that you really want to become truly good at it. You sharpen those skills. You find the mentor and learn as much as you can. And read, get the books, read them, find the historical society journals, read them, start to learn, start to grow. You know, when you're really committed to genealogy, it's difficult for me to just take a drive in the country without looking over the landscape and wondering, oh my gosh, oh, I wonder if there were people who were enslaved who live here. What are their stories? Where are they buried? I can almost see when I pass those large farms and rural places in the South. I know once upon a time who worked those fields. I wonder what their stories are. Where are they? What is your commitment? That's certainly the question that I ask you. Have you thought of writing the story of your ancestors? And I don't mean the who begot whom kind of story. I don't mean that. But I mean the stories that surrounded your ancestors and their lives and how they acquired land and what it was when they exercised the right to vote and how they had to fight for it and sometimes die for it. You know, how committed are you? I sense that commitment the same way I'm committed to doing this podcast. It's something that I strongly believe has merit. And anything that we undertake that has merit is worth our commitment, is worth certainly our devotion to the task. Anyway, wow, I'm almost getting emotional. It's time for me to wind it down for this week. I'm so excited. I have things to do. I've got workshops to go to and a workshop to deliver as well. I'm excited to be here. Some of you, I hope, who may be listening from California, I'm hoping I'm going to meet some of you later this afternoon. And those of you who can, if you can't be here for the events, tune in and watch some of the live video streams that are going to be on. And many of the sessions are going to be taped. So, you know, go on the SCGS website. That's the Southern California Genealogical Society, their website. And also, if you are on Twitter, certainly follow the different tweets that are going to be coming out. Hashtag group SCGS2013. I'm getting off. I've got to get up and go and join the festivities and also prepare for this afternoon. Have a wonderful day, everyone. My goodness, I appreciate you so much. You already know that. And of course, there is this something, I guess, that for me, just being able to be here and learn and grow is so important. And I'm going to do something I always ask you all to do. You always hear me saying to share what you find. Well, I intend to share with you what I will find this weekend as well as next week in Sanford as well. Anyway, thank you for listening. You know, keep doing what you do. And you know what that is. Keep researching. Keep documenting, and always keep sharing what you find. Have a great week, everyone. I will be tweeting. I will be sending out messages. Watch me on Facebook and on Twitter. And be well and be safe. Talk to you next time. Bye-bye.